On a scale of Disney characters, how do you feel right now?
I'd be Joy from Inside Out.
Oh man, Joy from Inside Out. So for all you listeners and watchers out there, what do you feel like right now? Would you be Sleeping Beauty, like in blissful peace? Or Olaf, just happy to be alive? Or like Elsa, ready to freeze anyone that looks at you the wrong way? You know, asking students how they feel at the beginning of class to learn of any issues that may be brewing or any emotional needs that they may have is just critical to better serve the whole child in learning, something that is so important, not just the academic component of things. This episode is all about that. Check-ins, creative check-ins. And I got my friend, my colleague, someone who I admire a lot, Julie White, one of our PE teachers at Ashland, here with us to talk about how she helps her kids every day. So put on your thinking cap and let's go. Music. Welcome to Discipline Win, a podcast on how to win in discipline, both within yourselves and when helping others. You may have noticed that I'm rebranding this podcast just a little bit. I already have been focusing on school and self-discipline, and with my new book titled Discipline Win coming out, it makes sense to just align the branding and focus. I don't know how you all are. For me, it's like there's so many different things you could think about, talk about, and the more we can help focus our lives, maybe the more peaceful. That's when we get to that, who's peace, like Olaf? No, Sleeping Beauty. I could be more like Sleeping Beauty if I can align all the things in my life, maybe. So social-emotional learning, self-regulation, inclusive practice, they're more important than ever right now. If you like what you hear, consider liking, sharing, and leaving a positive review so that I know how you feel about this episode's topic and the podcast as a whole. So today, I have Julie White, teacher extraordinaire, awesome mom. She's dealing with potty training right now, which is in a feat of itself. And so she's here to talk about check-ins. So Julie, so you're now a physical education teacher. You taught second grade. You taught third grade.
Did you teach like... I've had quite the roundabout. I started as a physical education teacher. My undergrad and master's are in physical education. And then my position was cut. My principal thought I could teach. And so I got certified to teach in the classroom. Taught second grade for 4 years. Looped up with a class. Taught third grade for two. And then when we moved up to Virginia, the only job that I could get was phys ed, and I absolutely love it. So that's where I'm sticking for right now.
Well, you're a phenomenal teacher. I'm not just saying that because you're on here. Everyone knows it. Everyone talks about it. Julie is an expert. You know, you have those educators out there that are experts. She is an expert, and we need to be listening to the teachers that are on the ground doing the work, that have those tips, especially in your leadership role where you can get locked into your office and you can just get in your little bubble. Or you can listen to people that don't always know what they're doing, frankly. But Julie, you know what you're doing. And I've seen it so many times in person. So we're going to be talking about the check-in specifically today. There's a whole other piece, Julie, we could talk about when you do the gifts with the exercises. Mm-hmm. So Julie does this other thing where we'll do another podcast about that, where you do the gifts for like students actually create their own gifts. GIFs or gifts? Gifts, right?
Gifts, yeah.
And they make their own gifts.
You could say it either way. I like gifts, yeah.
Yeah. They make their own gifts to different choices of exercise, like if this or that kind of thing. And phenomenal. So that just gives you an idea of what kind of educator Julie is, even during the whole COVID season where she is doing virtual, she's juggling in-person, virtual, all sorts of stuff. So first of all, Julie, you know, we're going to be sharing your check-ins on the website. They can get them right now. So as we talk, people go get their her check-ins. They're on my website. There's templates you can go use right now. How can they find you otherwise? Where are you at Twitter?
Twitter, WhiteJM, but it's tricky. It's WhiteJM.
Great. And Julie shares a ton of stuff on Twitter, lessons, things that are happening in class, great ideas. So check her out. So Julie, why did you start check-ins? First of all, what is a check-in? We say check-ins. What does that mean?
A check-in is one of the first slides that the students see at the beginning of every class. So it was working for in-person and virtual students, where it just says, like, on a scale of a particular topic, for example, Disney, how are you feeling today? And it goes through a range of emotions and feelings, like angry, mad, sad, happy, excited, frustrated, and just allows the students to express how they're feeling. To me, in a secure way. Like they show me, but it's only them showing me with their fingers at the beginning of every class, giving me a little bit of insight on how we're starting and allowing me to check in with students who need a little bit of extra support in that lesson.
So you have these, I don't want to say virtually, because I think the virtual component really sparked a conversion of in-person and digital instruction, right? And there's so many times, like something like PE, maybe people wouldn't be so digital. They wouldn't use so much the boards and all that. But because we're doing virtual first and then the hybrid, you're so used to using these boards and these TVs. And so what she's talking about is something that's like a digital display.
A Google slide that's displayed. I mean, I share my screen, so it would be displayed for your at-home kids, but also for anyone in person as well.
Right. And so you have these like blocks like gridded out. So you have like, you use 8. Now, why'd you pick 8? Just because it fit on the screen the best?
Or? I actually got the idea from someone else on Twitter. So I saw his, and he did a whole bunch of creative ones, like on a scale of 1 to grandma, on a scale of on a scale of pirate, you know, just a bunch of creative ones. And I just reached out to him and I was like, can I take this and make it my own? And he said, absolutely. So shout out to Nick Brockmeyer. So
yeah, Nick, that's what I'm talking about. That's what learning is all about. You know, we all share and put out there. That's the one awesome thing about social media. There's a lot of like negative black hole terrible things about social media, but in education, educators really capitalize on social media to share it as a free resource to share with others, and it's actually phenomenal. One of my favorite ones you did was the Darth Vader. So tell me about that.
So for Star Wars Week, it was right around May 4th, and I did like on a scale of Star Wars, and I was trying to find different gifts or pictures to go with it, but I just realized like Darth Vader's never showing his emotions, so I just put him for each of them. So happy, sad, angry, excited, and it's just Darth Vader. So the kids actually thought it was hysterical, which was good.
What was really funny is when you did it in person, I'm watching it, like half the class got it right away, right? And they laughed, and the other class just were confused if they're not Star Wars fans, you know? Right. Like, it was just really funny.
And it took a little explaining, especially for the younger kids, but it was it definitely got the kids who are Star Wars fans, it really connected and made them have a good chuckle that day.
Right. So you can either put just pictures, cartoons, real life pictures. I know you did your own Bitmojis. You had me do my face as like excited and sad and everything. And so there's so many different ways to be creative with this. You don't even have to have 8 necessarily, right? You could have 3, 5, 10. There's really no magic number. You need just an amount of like difference. You know, sometimes there's a difference between like sad and frustrated, you know, or mad versus depressed, right? There's these different, you want to tease those out a little bit, right? And so you do this check-in, you do it at the beginning of every class. How does this work?
Yeah. So, I kind of just realized like, the toll that the pandemic had taken on myself. And I was just like, you know what, like I should be checking in more on a personal level. And it was really hard the way we had class set up with our virtual kids and in-person kids. Our in-person kids are in squares, 6 feet apart. I couldn't like move around the room as much as I normally would and connect with them because I was tied to the screen and staying with my virtual kids as well. So I just wanted to make sure that I was checking in with them and making sure that if they were, I was always happy to see the positive ones, happy, excited, and things like chill, you know. But if they were having an issue, they were frustrated, they were angry, they were sad, they could just open up to me and let me know. And then I would check in with them on an individual basis during class or after.
Right. And so we're going to come back to that about the following up with this, right? But in order to get their attention, so you're starting off before you even do any instruction. And I really want to emphasize for people listening out there is that Julie's a physical education teacher. And a lot of times in our encore blocks, we call them encore, but you know, art, PE, music specials, whatever you want to call them. A lot of times there is such a rush to get into instruction. And we feel that way in the general ed classroom. Maybe if you're switching between classrooms at the secondary level, you only have so much time and there's such a rush to get right to that content. So why do you take the time then? Because I know you're always busy in your room. Like there's no downtime, but it's that valuable. Why is it that valuable?
Yeah, so it started, my lesson was about how physical activity can help improve your mood, how it can just turn your day around from being absolutely terrible to being, you know, in a good mood. I saw the positive reaction from the students. They really connected with the, you know, 8 frames and telling me the check-in. And so I decided that this needed to become a part of every class. And it was the first thing we were going to do. I feel like knowing where kids are at the start lets me teach them better. I understand that if this kid is sad or frustrated, they might not be doing their best learning or paying attention and might need some extra help or support, or just need a break. You know, I've offered that immediate break so that a kid doesn't start frustrated and get more frustrated as it goes on.
Right. And so when we're thinking about this, we're going to bounce around a little bit for those people listening. But when we think about this, so you're the literal component of this is that you're putting it up there. You're asking them to give you some feedback. If it's virtual, they can type it in. If it's in person, they can use their fingers. Another thing to think about is you could also do like sticky notes and either put them on the board or you could put them on your desk. And you can even put them in a way, like if you put them on the board, you could put your name on it, but put it on the back of the sticky note so that when you put it up there, kids can't see what they are. Mm-hmm. Or you could put it like on your, like a desk or a little note on your desk or something. And then as a teacher, they could walk around the classroom and just sort of scan the desk to see what people are. There's other cues that you can use that are more subtle, especially for kids that are maybe going through something tough that they don't necessarily want the whole class to know about, especially at like middle school, high school level. There's like little tips of being more subtle with this, right?
Absolutely. And you could always post the emotions on the like a wall, and as they walk in, they can just touch it. And that's another subtle way where they can just let you know how they're feeling as they enter.
Oh, yeah. And you know, another way you could do it too is if there's like some type of other ongoing cue that you use, like, hey, how one's doing? And just people have these just little subtle things that they do, you know, touching your ear or something like that. Right. You know, there's always little ways to be more subtle, because that's one important thing. You don't want to put kids where they say, take it off the stage. You know, you don't want to put them on the stage in front of everyone else if they're going through something tough, especially. So after they tell you that there's an issue, then what do you do with that? So you adjust instruction, you follow up. Is it that same time later on? How's it work?
Yeah, so our class would just then go into a warm-up activity, which gives me a little bit of freedom. So if it was a person online, I could type to them in the chat. If it was a person in class, I'd just mute my microphone and go on over and just check in with them. Most of the time in my younger grades, it was like, I forgot my water bottle at home or something like that. And that's why they were, you know, really frustrated or sad. In the older grades, I saw a lot of like anxiety and just worried was one. So just they were worried about meeting deadlines and completing their work and all the things that they had on their shoulders. So it was good to talk it out. I could offer a break immediately. They could go for a walk and come back, refocus. It just gave me a little bit, it allowed me to connect with them on a deeper level in a situation where I wasn't connecting with them on a deeper level.
Well, and so there's so many layers to that. One, even that the fact that they know that you want to connect with them at that level is a huge component. Even if you did nothing, them knowing that you care and that you want to ask about how they're doing is such a phenomenal, just a big piece of connecting when you're trying to make relationships. People always ask me all the time, like, you know, it's about relationships, right? Blah, blah, blah. Well, it's more than just the relationship. I'm doing air quotes right now if you're listening. Like, it's not just having a relationship, which sounds like super easy. It's really not. It's really more layered and nuanced behind what that means to have a relationship, especially with a group of kids. That's harder than just with an individual kid right with you and no one else. So them knowing that you care and then trying to follow up with them. So do you have a situation? Can you maybe talk in generalities, not with a student specifically named, but has there been a time where you've really seen this play out?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have one student who continued to say worried, like mm-hmm. multiple classes, checked in with him every time. And then I pulled him like a separate time and just like, okay, so we're caught. And he opened up. We actually were able to get counselors involved, just explaining that he constantly was feeling worried. So 2 classes, and that's 1 week of seeing him, 2 classes of seeing him, we were able to get him the support and help that he needed.
Wow. So you saw patterns. So that's another thing. So you're not only is it just that day alone, even if you don't do a ton of things that individual day, you can look for patterns over time where then kids need extra help and then you connect those dots. So you don't even have to do it yourself necessarily. You pulled in other resources, your team around you. And I think that's such a great idea because I know one of the things that we added this year was making sure that at the administrative level, we met with the school counselors and the psychologists and the social worker. We met like every week as a team just to keep in contact. And we realized more than ever how much it was important to have a whole team mindset so that we're all on the same page with kids. We know what's going on because there's different ways that you can approach a situation. So then you have to really know those individuals. If you're a teacher, you have to have good relationships with those counselors and all that, right?
Oh, absolutely. And yeah. And Ashland's just, everybody has good relationships. The counselors are well, they're available and well known to just jump in when needed. So it just took me telling that grade level counselor, this is what I'm noticing. And that child got what he needed. So
you're doing like an informal evaluation over time with a check-in. That's what we should call this, right?
It is. I mean, it really does give you insight on how they're, you don't know, especially with masks, you can't read facial expressions. They need to tell you how they're feeling. And for some of them, that's really hard. And for some of them, they were really honest with me. And that honesty allowed me to give them support and help. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, right. And that's the critical thing to think about. Kids won't really give you an honest check-in unless they know that you really care about them and that they really like trust you. Because if I don't trust you, and think about this as an adult, if I don't trust the person asking me this question, I'm just going to blow it off. Mm-hmm. But if I trust that they care, then I'll be more honest with what I really feel at that time. So that's a good point too. So now, circling back a little bit, we're going to start wrapping up here a little bit. You really are keen on making sure that you're adding preferences and likes. Like, you want these kids to like the check-in as well.
Oh, yeah. I definitely asked them when I started and I saw the positive response. I asked them what they would like to see. I compiled a list and they always had more suggestions for me. So things like Marvel and Pusheen, those are personal preferences of these kids. Harry Potter, sports, they all gave me these ideas, which takes a little bit off my plate to come up with the ideas. But also when they see their idea up there, they connect even more.
Yeah, and I want to do a shout out. I know she was, what did he do for my son? Was, Super Mario? Was it that one?
Oh, yeah. He loved Super Mario. So
he loved it. Yeah. He came home and talked about it, you know, and that's what it's all about. If as a teacher, you can make a personal connection with a child and make them interested in something in school, and that's all it takes. But it does take effort. Like, you have to care. You have to actually ask and then follow through with what they're asking of you. You can't just get them to behave and get them to want to do better just because. Like, they're not going to just do it. We can't expect compliance just because you're the boss or you're the teacher, the boss in the room. No, you have to actually do things that they care about so then they're interested in it.
Absolutely. We even started getting like drum rolls at the beginning of every class. They would give me a drum roll before it came up. So, and we would have guesses. Some kids would like to guess what the topic was. It really became a part of our class climate, class culture. It was a lot of fun. And it's absolutely something I'll continue to do in the future.
Absolutely. And now, you know, if you have kids all day long, you don't have to check in with them 15 times a day, but you know, just checking on them on a regular basis, that could be every week, once a day, whatever. But if you don't do it pretty regularly, it's hard to see those patterns. So that's the one thing. Maybe even if you didn't do it all every day, if you don't do it pretty regularly, every couple days or every week, then it's hard to miss, you know, some things. And I remember working as a teacher, there's times where, you know, we had kids that dealt with some really serious issues at home. I mean, believe it or not, just the craziest things, the cops were in their house all night long because they're dealing with just an issue at home that was pretty serious that, you know, that involved the police. And so how do you think that kid's going to learn the next day? And so as a teacher, I need to know that so that I can adjust instruction, be more patient with that student, be more understanding, be more empathetic. And that's just that you can give just that extra love. And I know we love all our kids and everything else, but the reality is we don't do the same thing with every kid every day. You give a little bit more to those kids that need a little bit more, you know, and that's okay. But if you don't know that they need more, then they go and that's when it's called they fall through the cracks, right? That's what I really worry about, especially now more than ever. With that, you know, the SEL, the social emotional component. So make sure they don't fall through the cracks. And Julie, you're doing that with every kid in the whole school as a PE teacher.
Yep. I get to see them and get to connect with them before, and then at the end of class, we always do a 5-minute share, which was something I added this year because everybody wanted to talk on Zoom. But that was connections that I built and learning about what this, they were interested in and what they had going on in their lives. Everybody had a chance to share, and it did take, like you said, like it took a little bit of time away from class, but those relationships that I built this year are, you know, priceless. So awesome. I definitely feel like I connected with students on a deeper level than I ever have.
Awesome. Well, this is fantastic. I know we could talk all day about this kind of stuff. So one, if you're listening, go get these templates right now. Go to andyjax.com, go to free resources. There is a section there where you can get all sorts of things. One of them is these check-in templates. And we're going to put some more information on there as well so you can have some tips. Go use those. Let us know how you're doing. Give us some feedback. Do hashtag discipline win. Give Julie a big shout out if you listen to this because she's fantastic. So Julie, what is it, your Twitter again?
White, WHYTEJM.
All right, everybody. I hope you have a great week. Thank you, Julie, for coming on.
Thanks
I appreciate
for having
you. You're amazing. Thank you so much. And make sure you all go get that discipline win. You know, our kids need the best that we can offer. And so part of that means that we need to be the best. We need to make ourselves the best every single day, the best version of ourselves. And that means we got to learn and grow and keep applying those things that we learn. So hopefully you all learned something today and have a great day.